Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to those here in person or to those who are joining us online. We say welcome. We hope you have a blessed day in our presence, and we pray that you will experience the coming of the Lord Jesus today and throughout the Advent season, and that today's service will be a blessing to you. Just two quick announcements. The day school program is this Wednesday at 6 p.m., and they would like for us to join them in that. There will be Santa Claus, and there will be the nativity story. So three age groups will be participating, and they will have a good program. And then secondly, Christmas Eve is coming very fast now, and that will be at 4 p.m. Early, so you can get on with your dinner plans, your evening plans, but we will have a warm service here in our sanctuary. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. The Lord says to his servant, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Come, Lord Jesus, our light and our salvation. Let us walk in the light of the Lord."
God, who has gathered us here to worship, now greet you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are so sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Trusting in God's salvation, faithfulness, and merciful love, let us confess our sin and the sins of the world, lifting our voices together. O God, for whom we wait, we confess that we do not know how to prepare for your advent. We have forgotten how to hope in miracles. We have ignored the promise of your kingdom. We get distracted by the busyness of the season. Forgive us, O God. Grant us the simple wonder of the shepherds, the intelligent courage of the Magi, and the patient faith of Mary and Joseph, that we may journey with them to Bethlehem and find the good news of the child born for us.
Surely God is our salvation. We will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is our strength and our defense. He has become our salvation. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our first scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the third chapter. Listen now to God's word. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the prophet Zephaniah. So I invite you, page 767 in your pew Bible, the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3, starting in the 14th verse. Listen now to God's word. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of hope, who never lets us go, draw near to us in these ancient words. By your Holy Spirit, may we be filled, lifted up, and leveled as you prepare in our hearts the path of your coming. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The prophet says, "The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more." Well, we have turned the corner, so to speak, in this Advent season. The third Sunday of Advent has traditionally been known as Gaudete Sunday. Now, please don't judge me on my Latin. I was a Greek student in college. But it comes from the Latin word for rejoice. This Sunday comes as an interjection of joy in an otherwise reflective and penitential time. And so you may have noticed that this week we lit the pink candle on our Advent wreath. One scholar commented on this practice, saying that as the purple candles connect us to Lent and the theme of penance that Lent has, the pink candle comes as an interruption of rejoicing as we glimpsed the promised hope and the future that is to come in Jesus Christ. And so as we reflect, the third Sunday interrupts our regular goings-on. It interrupts our seasonal preparations, our Christmas anticipation, and it even interrupts our holiday anxieties. It interrupts it with joy, a joy that can only come from God and from God's promises. Now, nowhere is there seen this kind of joyous interruption. Nowhere better is it seen and understood than in the book of the prophet Zephaniah. You see, all of the prophet's words preceding our reading this morning tell of a great day of judgment, which the Lord will bring upon the people. The prophet, you see, spoke to the people of Judah during the time of King Josiah. Ever since the split of the two kingdoms between Judah and Israel, the kings of that land had gone back and forth as to whether they would do good or do evil in the eyes of the Lord. Maybe that's familiar to us today. And now, as some may say, as go the king, so go the people. There was rampant idolatry and injustice in the land. The people were corrupt. The government was corrupt. The poor, the widow, and the orphan were oppressed. If you've been noticing over the past couple of weeks of our prophetic readings, this is a theme in the lives of the people of Israel. The people forsook the ways of God, pledging themselves to serve other so-called deities. And now many assume that God was nothing but benign, an indifferent deity who made no difference and is of little consequence to daily living. Now, much like in our reading last week from Malachi, the people asked mockingly, where is this God of justice? Who is this one that you speak of? But again, God would not be mocked. And so the coming day of the Lord, the prophet promises, will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. The very first words, if you go back to the beginning of the book, the very first words that the prophet speaks are of God's promise to dismantle creation because of their sin, to wipe away everything from the face of the earth. All of Judah would be brought to account for their arrogance and immorality, brought low by the just judgment of God Almighty. And so we see that Zephaniah is just berating the people, berating the people with these words from the Lord, calling them to account for their sin. And then, all of a sudden, he makes an extreme pivot in the final chapter. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult in all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has turned away your enemies. Now, as we read this, probably just as much as the Judeans who first heard these words, we're surprised by the sudden delight or the glee that we find in the prophet's voice. The time of doom and gloom is no more. But now is a time to rejoice and to be glad. Fear and disaster, the prophets say, has been turned away. Oppression and reproach has been removed. The lame are saved. The outcast gathered in. There's no more shame, only praise. The fortunes of the people are restored. It's a total flip of the destruction and judgment predictions given beforehand. The prophet instead gives a word of hope, hope for the future, a future that can only be characterized by rejoicing. On that day, condemnation will not have the final word, but joy will. This is the last thing that the prophet says. If you look in your Bible, it finishes at that last verse. I will restore your fortunes before your eyes. says the Lord. Now we may ask, what made the difference? How could a prophet so keen on divine destruction turn then to heavenly hope and joy? The difference, if we look at the text, is this. It's God's very presence. Verse 15, the King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst. And verse 17, the Lord, your God, is in your midst. For Judah, the earthly kings had failed. So the divine and true King, the Lord, has come. The God who claimed them comes down to show his power and to give his grace. The presence of God Almighty changes everything. Once God enters the picture, nothing can be the same. Change comes at every level. Mourning turns to rejoicing, tears to laughter, destruction to restoration. All brought about by God just showing up. It's like soldiers in a barrack. They're lounging about, maybe horsing around, you know, not exactly acting as people of valor. But if their general was to walk in at that moment, all would stand at attention. All mischief would cease. The presence of one with such rank creates a change on every level. But it's also like a lost child. They don't know where they are. They're crying and calling out. The world has suddenly become a scary place. But just then, their mom or dad rounds that corner and sees them. And fear melts away. They are found again. The presence of one with such love creates change at every level. Now, our God relates to his people in both of these ways. God comes to us in our sin and rebellion as Almighty Sovereign to remove judgments from us. He comes not to tolerate sin, but to deal with it head on. And at the same time, God comes to us, lost and weary creatures, with a radical love which transcends all that would keep us from him. The very presence of the one with supreme status and undying love changes everything, every situation, every person, at every level. This is why Zephaniah chapter 3, and especially verse 17, has been called the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. Fun fact for you. He says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives the victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I don't think we can comprehend what radical love and authority that the creator of the universe, the one who owes us nothing, would condescend, would come down to be with his people, to change their fate. This is the God who calls us his own. Now we live very different lives than those of the Judeans. We're separated by thousands of years. We don't face the same fears or the threats of destruction. And on the whole, we're pretty privileged here in the West to live lives of relative safety. But still, through the brokenness of the world, through the sin in the world and in ourselves, we face what may be for us consuming fires of judgment. Maybe you're here today and you're dealing with some addiction, or maybe an addict in your family, and you seem to take one step forward and two steps back. Maybe you are worn by wearied bodies and unexpected diagnoses. Maybe you feel the loss of a loved one which is covering your life like a deep, thick darkness. Or maybe you're struggling with some sin in your life, trying to overcome, but often falling back. These things can feel like a final sentence of doom. But the good news is that just like the Judeans, God promises to come to you, to come as Almighty God and loving Father, so that all that condemns, all that oppresses, all that keeps you from God would not have the final say. That he comes to take away the judgments against you, to dispel your fears, and to renew you in his love. His coming means that nothing can be the same, but renewal and joy will overflow. And we know that God will come to us because he has already come to be God with us in Jesus Christ. He did not stay confined to the heavens or to some temple far away, but he came down and took on our very flesh, the stuff that makes us most human. And as he came to deal with sin head on, to take our shame away. And he bore it all on the cross with all the judgment associated with it. And his arms were stretched out in embracing love for the world, for his people, that he would bring them new life. To bring new and everlasting life. That all of those things that we feel keep us separated, the loneliness, the strife, the evil, the wickedness, all we see in the world, our anxieties, all of it, he came and bore on his very self so that we would be free, that we would have true life. For those who trust and believe, the promise stands true. The God who has come in Jesus Christ will come again, and he will come again for you. Because God promises through his very presence to destroy fear and dispel all that keeps us separated from God, we can have hope. We can have hope that despite all of the things that the world throws at us, all the brokenness, all the sin, that God will still come to each and every one of us and will gather us into his eternal care. We await that great day. And as we wait, we rejoice because we know Jesus Christ has accomplished it all and will bring it all to completion. So this Advent season, may you know and experience the life-changing, joyous interruption of the Lord in our midst. Glory be to his name. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our good and gracious God, you did not stay confined to the heavens nor in some temple far away, but came down, took on our flesh, and became God with us in Jesus Christ. We wait with eager anticipation when you will come again to make all things new. So now, in the meantime, we rejoice that we are your people and that you hear us when we pray. Heavenly Father, you have the whole world in your hands. Bring justice and peace to our weary world. Establish your righteous reign on earth, we pray. Bring an end to our warfare, O God. Bring peace to nations which find themselves in conflict. We pray especially for Ukraine, for Israel, Palestine, and for Sudan, that you would bring peacekeepers and peacemakers to establish what is good for all people, that warfare may cease and justice flourish. We give you thanks, O God, this day for those who serve, especially those who serve for the common good. We pray this day for nurses, for doctors, for chaplains, for firefighters, for police officers, all who give of their time and talents to help, to heal, to protect, to serve. Aid them in their work and help them to remember that they do not do it for themselves alone, but for the good of everyone they meet. Help us this day and every day, O God, to love our neighbors, especially those who struggle to live full life in the midst of troublesome circumstances, for those who mourn, for those who grieve, for those who find themselves not able to lift themselves up but are weighed down by the brokenness inside and in the world. Help us to love them and have mercy, O God. Holy Redeemer, in coming to us, you brought us new life and are now gathering us into your body, the church. Grant that we would not keep this good news to ourselves, but go and tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Help us to proclaim with courage, with boldness, with tenderness and love, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Especially this day, O God, we pray for the Evangelical Church in the Republic of Niger. We pray that you would prosper their work, that you would equip them with everything they need to minister to the people in their midst, that they may follow where Jesus is leading, that they may keep in step with the Spirit. And we pray, O God, for this congregation that you have called Hebron. Help us to listen and to hear and to heed the Spirit's call, that we might not be held back by what has come before, but move forward with joy and with courage to minister as Christ calls us to minister. Lead us onward, Almighty God, we pray. Helping Spirit, you comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Grant your renewing presence to this day to those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Challenge us and move us beyond our comfort zone to serve those whom you love. We commend into your hand all those who need your aid, and especially those we name in the quiet of our hearts. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we lift our prayers, knowing that you can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine, and praying as Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we have once again been nourished by God's word, we respond with gratitude and faith, giving of our time, talents, and resources to the work of the gospel in the world.
Thank you.
Gracious Lord, you pour out your gifts in abundance upon us. You gave us your most precious gift in Jesus Christ coming to be God with us. And so, Lord, in thanksgiving, in gratitude and in joy, we give back this portion of our life and our labors for the work of your church. Sanctify these gifts, we pray, O God, that they may glorify your name as we seek to point people to God in flesh. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Among us. This is the promise for which we long. This is the hope of past, present, and future. So go this day in the hope that God will come to you, will find you wherever you may be, and will renew you in his love. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day and always. Amen. Amen.